Blog Talk Radio.
Into being, where in this show I talk about my own reflections on unconditional love that really have come from so many different sources. And, you know, before I proceed into that, I have to say just a tremendous thank you to all of the guests and the listeners and the community around this show, the publicists who continue to bring wonderful guests our way, and the returning guests. There are many returning guests now, and we have many new guests coming up, and really the listening audience as well, because I know, especially when we have more interactive shows, some of you, you know, you make a point to be here when you can, and I very much appreciate that, and I know that there is a family around this show of guests, listeners, all kinds of people. Not everybody can listen all the time. None of us can do that to any show, and I'm very understanding of that. But I know you come in when you can, and I very much appreciate that. For those of you new to the show tonight, the website for the Frontier Beyond Fear is frontierbeyondfear.com. And this show has, again, been going on exactly 4 years. This is the date when 4 years ago, like many blog talk radio hosts, I just started a show. I had thought about it for a little while, but then I finally did it in a spontaneous act of creation and just came on the air. And I suppose one of the things I'd like to say to other people out there who perhaps have listened to Blog Talk Radio for a while, I had listened on and off, and to any number of other shows, I really encourage people to do this. It is so easy to start a show on Blog Talk Radio. There are other networks out there as well. Blog Talk Radio, though, is so approachable. All you need is a phone. And that's what made it so easy for me, is I just spontaneously started a show one day, and it was because I felt that I had things that I wanted to share with a broad audience. That's another thing I appreciate about the audience here. It didn't really matter how many people were in the audience, but what mattered to me was that there are people from many different perspectives here. When I first started this show some time ago, I had for quite a while posted in various online forums. I'd been quite a regular poster on the Oprah forum with the name Bridge Builder. We all had acronyms then. And I will say that what was so wonderful about that forum and some of these other experiences was indeed that presence of people from multiple backgrounds. And so as I launch into yet another exploration of unconditional love, really seeing how my own perspective has evolved in the last year, I want to really reflect on that at the outset, that on this network, in this world, in this audience, everywhere out there, we are coming together with many, many different perspectives, and we have to find that common ground. And that common ground is love, because even those of us who may not believe in God, however you choose to label God, Spirit, the universe, the multiverse, I can say that those of us who do very much feel that that Spirit reaches out to everyone, and it expresses itself through everyone in different ways. So you don't have to believe as I do for me to respect that there is a loving place where we can meet. And a person doesn't need to believe in God at all to find the love within their hearts, because it is a part of being human to love. So today, I had a new idea for how to go about this. Every year, I will say, I think that I'm going to do some elaborate anniversary special with all kinds of montages and things. But I feel that what this show has done the most for me, and I feel for many of you, and not just this show, so many others, we're a whole family out there, conferences, shows, the wonderful books and movies that people are putting out there right now. We are all shifting. We are all changing. We are transforming. And we're doing this together. And so I feel that my own personal growth has been fed day by day by day by so many way showers out there. And I learn so much from my guests. The 4 years of doing this show has been like going to school. In fact, I hadn't really thought of that until now. It's kind of an undergraduate spiritual education, come to think of it, because it's exactly that. I have some upper-level classes. I have repeating teachers who've come in here. In fact, we've all gone to school with so many of these guests, and I'm not going to even get into details of who. There have been so many. I'm not going to even really talk about that tonight, because as a group together, we are all helping each other. I think that, boy, that is such a good analogy, because when I do a show, I read the books of the guests. Almost always I'm able to get the books. If they have a book, if they have a movie, I've watched the movie or whatever they're bringing to the table. Some people haven't written books, so I've been over to their website. I try to really learn about the people who come on. And that, too, I mean, I have to say, it's been an incredible learning experience for me. And I hope that it has been one for you as well. And I hope that you have gone out and gotten some of the books and the movies and whatever else people have produced, including going to people's websites. So many people have wonderful blogs. Almost everyone has a blog these days. I kind of nurse my blog along for having written a great deal on discussion forums. I tend not to blog as much as I would like, but eventually I'll get there. I do intend to blog a bit more, but I do encourage you, if you'd like to go to the frontierbeyondfear.com blog, it's right there on the site, and every once in a while I'll put something out there, just usually a personal experience of some sort. So with all that said, I have decided very spontaneously to approach tonight's show with very little preparation. I came from an evangelical background. There are those of you listening I know who are evangelicals now, and there are many in my family. Some family members do listen to my show. And we all love each other, and that's the point. We may not all be in the same boat, in the same perspective now that we used to be, but we all find a way to love each other. And I feel that one of the things that I learned in church was this concept of going to a Bible study and just sitting down and honestly reflecting. Now, what's unusual here is I don't have a lot of people to reflect with. I know that many of you are listening later or whatever, but it's still, it's a certain way of approaching working our way through a text. So I decided tonight, every year I do 1 Corinthians 13, but I'm going to approach it in a different way this year. Because one of the things that I have learned this year, and I don't think I have ever approached it quite this way, is that the beginning of everything, of loving one another unconditionally, is finding love for ourselves. And it came to me on the broadcast to step through these verses and keep that perspective in mind. What also came to me was I happened to read above 1 Corinthians 13, and I was somewhat familiar with this from my past, and it's very interesting to read a little bit of 1 Corinthians 12. So I'm actually going to start earlier, and then I'm just going to reflect. If you happen to be in the chat room, there is a chat room open. I welcome you to go in there if you'd like, and I'll kind of keep an eye to see if anyone's in there. But this is just going to be an honest reflection from the heart. 1 Corinthians 12, actually about spiritual gifts. But I'm not going to start at the beginning. I'm going to start where I was kind of led to start. In fact, before I even get into that, I'm going to tell you, I used to live in Kansas. And when I lived in Kansas, there were people around me who were very, very conservative. They belonged to something called the Apostolic Church, and they dressed very conservatively. They were kind of someone like the Amish, but not exactly. But they were very conservative people. And I had many friends that belonged to this very conservative church. And one day, I learned how they had services, which went on for hours and hours and hours on Sunday. This show won't go that long. They would just open the Bible to a random passage and start reading. And that was the sermon of the day. The minister had no preparation whatsoever. He, and it was a he in that church, because they actually did believe that women should not be allowed to speak in the church. They followed many, many rules of the Bible very directly in the way that they interpreted them. But in any case, I found that fascinating that every Sunday they would have a very long service that went on for hours, even into the afternoon, all spawned by a random opening of the Bible with no preparation whatsoever. And I want you to think about that in terms of oneness and coming together, in the sense of what an amazingly intuitive and courageous thing that is to do. Now, I can't say what that preacher was saying. I don't know where he was coming from, because a lot of times when we bring forth just spontaneous inspiration, we're going to bring our own perspectives to the table. That's all a part of it. And yet sometimes, and I would have to believe, I was invited to that church, but I never did go. I would have to believe that what that minister brought through was pure love. In fact, I'm sure that there were many times that love came through if that preacher was directly connected to God. And God is love, and we are all connected to God. And if we open up, this is where spiritual gifts come in, and I was guided tonight to start earlier. So, this is Sunday night Bible study on the frontier beyond fear in a expansive way, let's put it that way. All right, I think I'm going to start at verse 21. I'm just going to read this. This is the New International Version. This is my old Bible that I had with me when I still went to church. I carried this with me into church, would have been 12 years ago. Okay, 12:20. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. I'm discovering these verses for the first time. I'm rediscovering them. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, that is unconditional love, right there. How amazing. I have not read these verses in a very long time. And that is pure unconditional love. If we could live like that in the world, where we truly respect and honor the strengths and the weaknesses of everyone, if we really came together and found a way to suffer with one another and rejoice with one another. You know, when you suffer with another person, you get amazing empathy. In fact, I'm going to tell a little story here. I had an experience where it turns out that we had these bugs. Well, I had this problem, and I mentioned it on the show last time, where, and not just me, we were getting these what looked like bug bites. Was it poison ivy? What the heck was it? We weren't sure. Well, it turns out they're these tiny, tiny fleas, and it took days to figure this out because they weren't obvious, and they're not tons of them. They're just around, and yes, now we're taking care of this. But what I realized when this happened was that I could have been a little bit more empathic about my own dog, is what I realized, because I got to experience firsthand what that felt like, and it was not a pleasant experience. In fact, we're still clearing this up, and thankfully, we're getting a handle on it. But the thing is we don't always have to experience everything that everybody else goes through. Thank goodness, because there are people out there going through really challenging things, and I know that. But when we do, whatever that may be, whether it's an illness, many of us have had financial issues, many of us know what it's like to go to the grocery store and you only have so much to spend and you have to put things back on the shelf because you only have that much to spend. Not everybody knows what that's like, but it's not that unusual in this world right now. There are people out there who've lost homes, so many different experiences that people are having. And what I find is when you go through a challenging experience, hold on to how that felt, because there will come a time someday when you can reach out into empathy, maybe right away to someone else having the experience now, or years later. Years later, you may be able to reach out to someone who's having that experience, and you'll know exactly how it feels like, and you'll also maybe have some really good suggestions. So we are all together in this. That's what this is about. I'm going to eventually get to 1 Corinthians 13, but I'm really quite astonished by this passage. I think it's amazing. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Well, we can expand that. I know that there are those out there who are conservative Christians who would prefer not to expand that and feel that's a very, it's a smaller group on the narrow path. And I was taught that when I was young. However, there are those of us who have now expanded that definition so that Christ is now symbolic. And just, you may not agree with that, but that is where I'm at, in the sense of we are all one. We are all part of the body. We are all part, and here is something I know that you all believe, we are all part of the omnipresent God, because we have to be. If God is omnipresent, then it would not be possible for any of us or anything not to be a part of God. So if it's easier to substitute God or the universe or the multiverse for now you are the body of the multiverse, think of it that way, we are all together. We are all one in the spirit. In fact, that was my favorite song, one of them, from years ago. I used to go to Bible camp every year, and they would sing these wonderful songs around the fire. Many of them were, not all, but one I always remembered was We Are One in the Spirit. And I don't know that I won't burden you with my singing voice right now, but it's all right. But in any case, it just meant that we are all one. And we were singing that when I was a child in one of the most conservative camps that was around. All right. Keep going here. And in the church, this is where we're going to get to the part about spiritual gifts. You know, I have to stop and tell you another story. I just can't help it. When I was in Kansas and I had these horrible doubts, you know, when I my doubts started when I was very young. And we'll get into this as we get to a little bit later passages. And, you know, I know that I'm kind of straying from this concept of loving ourselves. And actually, I'm going to bring it back to that right now. Part of loving ourselves is really coming to know our stories, coming to know every little thread that brought us to exactly where we are now. And when I think about that time in Kansas, I had had doubts for many years, and there's a rather long story, which I won't tell today, but I went to Bible study for a while. This was at the last conservative church that I attended, and they would read a passage, and I would ask the most honest questions because I just had an awful time believing that a loving God could allow hell to exist. I had a great deal of difficulty with that concept, which I know many of you do as well. And so I would ask very honest questions, and this was a conservative group. And one day, the leader was, I think, going away or something. I don't think she was quitting. But she asked me if I could lead the Bible study. And I was just absolutely flabbergasted because I said, how in the world can I lead the Bible study? I have all these doubts. Why would you want me to lead the Bible study? I mean, I felt like I was like the most, I didn't necessarily feel like a junior member because I felt I was asking thoughtful questions, but I just felt that I wasn't necessarily the sort of person who should lead an evangelical Bible study by asking all these questions. Surprisingly enough, she said, oh, but you just think things, you know, you have so many things to explore and to say. And to this day, that surprises me. And I later found out, not long after, that there were a lot of questioners in that church, people who were really reflecting on things. And because they had been taught that from another verse that the heart is wicked and deceitful, they were in conflict because their hearts were telling them one thing. They were inspired towards love because God is love. And the words were saying something else. And so when that happens, and there may be those of you out there that this is happening to, there is a contradiction then. Because if God is love and you're being guided towards love, then you are clearly being guided towards God. And what is guiding you towards God? Your heart. And if that's wicked and deceitful, well, that's not possible. That would be a contradiction. So I would encourage, as part of our path towards coming together, even if you simply want to talk to me in some way, many people like to talk to me about, you know, why I left the church, what might convince me to come back into the church. This especially in the days when I used to post on conservative forums. And I would, and this surely happens to many people out there who've left one type of belief system or another, and this can happen in many belief systems, and especially conservative, but not always. And the thing is I had to follow what I felt was the most loving path, and if I saw contradictions, I genuinely pointed them out. And at the same time, I always respect anyone who wants to talk to me. When missionaries come to my door, generally Mormons, I'll talk to them. Actually, I'm curious sometimes as to what they believe, not necessarily to become a Mormon, although they've thought that a few times. I've been invited to the temple, I didn't go. But I just ask honest questions so that I can find out more about them. And they can be the most innocent and loving people. And I just want to know. Same with the apostolic Christians I used to know. That was a different time in my life. But I simply wanted to know them. I just wanted to know what they believed. And they helped each other and they helped me, even though I wasn't a part of their belief system at a time when I really needed support. So, continuing on. Boy, this is just flowing along here, just me. But here we go. All right, back to this. We're still on chapter 12. We'll see if we get to 13. 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. You know, that is a really interesting passage that I haven't heard in a while. And like I said, I just stumbled on it as I was looking at the Bible here. And I remember it. Now, I know that it's trying to imply, well, again, there are those who will interpret this in different ways. And that is one of the things I encountered in my spiritual life, all of my life, is how to interpret different things. Would every belief system, can we come together in that? How, no matter what we're trying to believe, it might be the law of attraction. You know, there's something that's been discussed a lot of times on my show, and many of us have really honest questions about it. I do. I don't just accept a lot of things at face value. I want to really explore it, and that's a very complex concept, the law of attraction. And just in the way that we explore things like that in, you know, what some might call, quote, New Age belief systems, though I know that term's somewhat obsolete. In the old days, boy, I mean, there's every possible interpretation of the Bible. I used to be part of an apologetics forum where just about every belief was represented. The only thing that was banned from that forum, there were two things banned. Universalism. Universalists were not allowed in, probably because they were so convincing. That's what I used to think. And the other ones were Satanists. They weren't allowed in either. But every possible interpretation and, you know, all my life, that's what it's been about. Even in my own family, how do you interpret certain things? You know, we had discussions about predestination versus not. You know, what about different forms of Christianity, speaking in tongues. You know, that's in this verse. So anyway, I digress a little, but this is a free flow experience today, and I'm choosing to do this way because the first program of every year, it seems, although I don't know if I did it the second year, I'd have to check, but the very first time I came on this show, this is exactly what I did. I just explored. I just saw what I could do, and just, I think more of us can do this, and we would reveal more of who we are, and that would be a very valuable thing. I would love to hear some other hosts talk about themselves a little bit, because, you know, we all love you. We love the hosts out. I love so many different hosts, and it's a little bit challenging to do this all by yourself. I'll say that. But, oh, see, someone's out there. Jay. See? Now that's spirit right there. He's like waving at me from the, here's an old listener who's in the chat room right now, and he comes in a lot. He calls in quite a bit when we have shows. Hi, Jay. And see, I want to use this as an example. Do you realize I was talking here about being alone, and it does feel a little odd when you're talking by yourself, although many preachers do it. We've all been in churches where that's happened, but, or actually any kind of teaching experience, but it is a little odd to just have nobody interacting with. But now I have Jay in the chat room, so I at least know one of my my dedicated listeners is out there in the chat. So welcome, Jay. And I know others will be listening as well, especially to the podcast. And I do say a hello to all of you across time, because I appreciate all of you. And though it feels like I'm alone, I'm not alone. In fact, that's the key to everything. We're never alone. We're never alone. If we could just reflect on what we really feel about things, we would realize just how much wisdom and inspiration flows to us just through our own experiences and also through the divine. And really, it's all intermingled. Because eventually in my journey, I figured out that we are all aspects of the divine. And eventually, I figured out that that really wasn't all that different from God being omnipresent. And once you begin to really reflect on things like this, it all brings everything together. I was taught in the personal love of God when I was young. But I had a really hard time connecting to the love of a God that would send anyone to hell. Anyone that I loved, people that I didn't love. If I, you know, I wasn't perfect, I'm sure there were people I didn't care for. You know, what one would label an enemy. Well, I wouldn't want my worst enemy sent to hell. You know, I wasn't really, I don't know. We all get into conflicts with people. I wish that in the world we would think about that more. I tended to not feel that extreme where I would even dare to think that I would want someone sent to hell. I know there are some people who feel that way, and I find that sad. And to me, and actually this is what Bible study's like, I'm brought back to that verse that I just read, in that to me, that's a part of the body that's hurting a lot, because those parts of humanity who are feeling hateful, who really believe that someone else deserves to be tortured forever, I mean, I feel that that person who feels that way is hurting. That person is in pain, because that's the only way that we can feel such, to feel that way, actually, it becomes a feeling about God. I mean, that's what I realized when I was young. Well, eventually, is that when we believe that God could do something that severe, because there are modifications of this where you think, well, that's God's law, and there's nothing I can do about it. Well, to me, for me, that was not a God that I could connect to. That was not a God that I could feel had personal love for everyone. Because how could a God do something like that? How could a God be bound to that? Which is what so many people seem to think, that God would be limited in some way, that the love of God would be limited. And in fact, that's going to be a nice intro, and we're doing okay on time, to 1 Corinthians 13. But I do want to finish up just where we talked about all the different gifts that people can have. And it just asked the question, are all apostles, are all prophets, so forth. I think that even within the New Age community, I know plenty of people who are healers who, you know, I wouldn't claim be working in that modality myself. And yet when you just ask the question like these verses do, what I tend to think it invokes is that, yes, we all have that aspect in ourselves, that if we were to look, we could all work miracles. We could all be teachers. We could all be healers. We could all speak in different languages. We could all interpret things we couldn't even begin to imagine that we could. And what do we eagerly desire here? The greater gifts. What are the greater gifts? What are they? Well, if we believe that earth is evolving, if we truly believe in heaven on earth, then perhaps we won't be so surprised when we start to see more miracles. How do miracles manifest themselves? Well, for many of us, as synchronicities, those meaningful coincidences, that's how it starts. And the more that you pay attention, the more you see. And we live in a world inseparable from God. We are inseparable from God. So the more conscious we become, the more aware we become within our humanity, our connectedness to the divine, the more miracles we will begin to see and experience. People have been healed. I've personally witnessed it. I believe I've experienced it at times. People have amazing connectedness to nature. That's something I've experienced in the last year, much more than in years past, although I have at times, especially when I was young. But that's something for me that has really expanded in the past year, and I'm thankful for that, because it can feel very miraculous in the forest. Amazing energetic connections can take place when you're within nature. And such peace. I went out there today, and the minute I got out there, it'd been a while, I hadn't gone because of these silly bug bites. I thought they were coming from nature. It turns out they were coming from my house. But I eventually got back out into nature, and I just felt it. I took the deepest breath when I got out on the trail. It was wonderful. So, all right. Going into 1 Corinthians 13 now, and now I really am going to try to, well, we'll just flow with it. We'll see. But I'm going to make sure that I include the perspective of loving ourselves, because it's really important. In fact, that's one of the reasons I went out into nature today, because I have tons of work I could have been doing. I could have maybe done some preparation for this show, and I'm really glad I didn't. But instead, I loved myself enough. I honored the needs of my spirit and my body enough to go out in nature. And I'm really happy I did that. And many of us are making a commitment to do that more and more. And I think that that is going to help us a great deal to connect within the oneness of this body. Love. And now I will show you the most excellent way All right, let's go backwards. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. We're talking about spiritual gifts, and we're saying there are these greater gifts that we eagerly desire. And what is that? And now I will show you the most excellent way. Very interesting. I'll just go on that segue. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now see, for me here, as I reflect upon this in terms of how we pursue our personal paths, is a lot of us may be doing things, or even certainly this has happened to me in the past, sharing things that don't really resonate. And this can happen on a lot of spiritual paths. I tend to believe it can happen on all of them, is that we're all shifting in our understanding of things. And so I feel, okay, I see how this is going to flow with this show, which is fine. I feel like in the coming year, I'm probably going to keep being as honest and authentic as I can be when I talk with guests, when I have honest questions. You know, I've asked lots of honest questions about the law of attraction because I feel that that's a challenging thing to understand. And the reason I ask these questions, because fundamentally I always have as my basis, is that loving? Is that love? We could evaluate so many things in our lives, not only what we believe, but what we're doing. If I, for example, if I'm eating things that are not good for me, you know, we all do this sometimes. I've had some guests on in the past year, fairly recently, where we've talked about this because I can honestly say, though the last year has been really good progress, you know, I'm working on eating better. I'm getting my weight down. I want to be as healthy as I can be. And so if I'm thinking in terms of loving myself, well then, yes, I am going to walk on that trail, that places I like to walk, you know, at least 2 miles. I require myself, it's not hard, I can do that in a heartbeat because I love walking in nature. But, you know, maybe it's going to the gym. It's also just taking care of ourselves. Because if you really love yourself and you love your life, you want to be here as long as you can to appreciate the gifts that it has to give us. And so, to me, it means that, and it also means, you know, what am I pursuing as a career? I used to be a software engineer. There were aspects of that that really worked for me, especially when I got to get a little bit higher within the profession, and I was helping facilitate communication for a whole bunch of engineers, an entire company worldwide. Well, that was great. It was wonderful, and it was great training for what I'm doing now, but did it really resonate with me as much as what I'm doing now, which may not pay as well? Actually, this show is a volunteer effort, so I can say that you know, what I'm doing now is a hobby, but it's a hobby that I spend a great deal of time on. And yes, I do have work that I do, but it's much different. It's not about, you know, I could have all the money in the world, but if I don't love what I'm doing, if I don't love my life, if I don't love myself, well, then that money is useless. It's just going to slip through my fingers, and it's just not even going to matter. And so I would rather be doing what I love and not, you know, sometimes it can be a challenge. Just navigate through those challenges and trust. Go to the miracle zone. And it's amazing how manna from heaven manifests, to use another biblical concept mixed with the New Age concept. That term New Age, by the way, evangelicals like to use that term to refer to people like me. And I know there's some listening out there, and I honor that. It's just that we don't tend to use that for ourselves. Not, you know, it's more, I was first exposed to concepts a little in the late 70s, and that's when you really tended to use to hear it a lot. But I still use it just because that's the way I was taught. So, continuing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I want to stop there. I'm actually going to take this again and think of this in terms first of loving ourselves and then expanding it to others. If we could be patient with ourselves, if we could be kind to ourselves, if we could stop worrying what everybody else thinks, if we could stop feeling like we have to present ourselves as some perfect person and, you know, inflate who we are, for example. If we could, you know, find a way, we're not perfect, nobody's perfect, and, well, we're imperfectly perfect, but we're human. And sometimes, you know, we're going to say things that are angry, we're human. So, but love brings us back to our center. So that if we say something that we don't mean, we come back to ourselves. And even to ourselves, we can say things that are really very harsh, critical things to ourselves. And these are voices from the past a lot of times. A lot of times they aren't even our own voices. But we can still be very, very harsh with ourselves. And if we can just bring that back to love, then that would expand to everybody else, because we would be connected to our core, to who we are, and we'd be able to do the same, see that within everybody else. Now, here's a bit of a contradiction in terms, or it may seem. It is not self-seeking. I actually want to address that for a moment, because I know that often, oh, Jay, I see you out there. Jay's waving at me. Oh, he had to go. Anyway, my friend Jay stopped by for a while, and I'm glad in the chat. I know many of you, not everyone gets into the chat. I understand that. And so if you are listening out there, I appreciate that, and I know you are in the future as well. So anyway, about being self-seeking. So many times this concept of loving ourselves is viewed as selfish, as viewed as self-aggrandizing, perhaps. Some people would say, having a radio show where you just talk for an hour all by yourself, that sounds kind of, you know, I remember this when I first started the show. I said this more than once, if anyone listens to the early episodes. I felt like it was just didn't feel quite right to just be talking by myself, as if putting yourself on a pedestal in some way, claiming that you have all the truth. You know what? I wish more of us would do this in a way, because I would love to get to know more people this way. You know, when people write a book, that's what they're doing often. I mean, we share our experiences with others and quotes and things, but I think that getting to know ourselves is absolutely essential, and that it's really cool to get to know the depths of another person as well. So I would love to see more hosts do this kind of thing, but the thing is that back to the core lesson that I was viewing here was that loving oneself is not something to judge, that that's actually essential. because when we feel good about ourselves, when we're able to love ourselves despite being human, we are beautifully human on this planet. And if we're able to, the word is accept ourselves, no matter what happens, no matter, you know, we're always going to have strengths and weaknesses and things that we're improving on all the time. Things where might we thought were a strength and then, you know, we didn't do as well this time or whatever, you know, and then we get upset. It's like, I should know to do better than that. We're always judging ourselves. And when we love ourselves, that's not selfish. That's how we connect to our authenticity so that we can connect to everybody else. So it keeps no record of wrongs. I already pretty much went through not easily angered. But it keeps no record of wrongs. That is really important because a lot of times we think of forgiveness. Forgiveness is incredibly important. But to actually keep no record of wrongs is basically to say you can start with a clean slate. That, okay, you know, this didn't go so well or that didn't go so well, but I don't have to go dwelling on that except for maybe how I choose to improve. I mean, lessons can really come to us from the past, that's for sure. But we don't have to keep berating ourselves over and over. And once we figure that out, then maybe we'll stop doing it to everybody else. Because what we do is we project outward what we often do to ourselves. And so if we could just get past those things that we tend to judge ourselves of, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I, again, perfectly imperfect or imperfectly perfect, because we're all part of the divine. We're human. And we're here in a more limited capacity so that we can rediscover the divine, which is a very joyous thing to do. But the thing is, we have to stop berating ourselves for the things that we feel are in the past, and we need to just move on. So, let's see. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Wow, how perfect is that translation? I'm just going to read this to the end, then I'll just note some things since we're running out of time. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I may actually let this show go over a little bit if you're listening to the live show and you want to continue to listen. I can't believe I thought I'd maybe go half an hour, and here I'm still going, but that's fine. If there's something to talk about, I'll continue. If you want to hear the rest of this show, if it goes down off the live feed, just call 310-807-5104, and you can listen to the teleconference. In fact, that's actually a good thing to note anyway, that this show is always a teleconference. That's also the line to call to talk to the show, but all Blog Talk Radio shows are both teleconferences and online broadcasts. And so a lot of people don't know that, so that's just a lesser-known fact about Blog Talk Radio that is very convenient to know. So just doing a couple quick logistic things as we get closer to the end. Since I'm talking, I have to, that's something else. It's like, who's the wizard behind the show? Well, it's me. I'm running the levers and I'm doing the talking. It's a little easier when I have a guest because I can do this while the guest is talking. So I'm just kind of checking things. Okay, we're good. So I'm going to let this run just slightly over, not too much, because it's going to start feeling like the Apostolic Church if I talk too long, I think. So here we go. All right. I just want to say a few things about this, and some of these have been said in past episodes, because it's not the first time I've covered these passages, but I feel that, okay, when we talk about rejoicing with the truth, well, that's authenticity. You know, if we could just be honest with ourselves and with one another, then, and if we could find a way to be unconditionally loving, then true authenticity would become possible in this world. I often like to think, imagine if we were all telepathic. Can you imagine how much unconditional love that would require? There's a part in the Celestine Prophecy, which I haven't read in a while, but I know there's a part where they start reading each other's minds, and, you know, we're all human, and so, you know, it's going to be pretty interesting if you start reading everyone's minds. Well, that would require keeping no record of wrongs. It would require understanding of what it means to be human. And I don't know that we're quite ready for that yet, but as we step into the greater gifts of heaven on earth, we start seeing more and more odd things. They almost feel like telepathy in a way, and much more intuitive experience occurs. And I can tell my voice is leaving me a little because I'm not a preacher in the Apostolic Church, so I'm not used to preaching for very long. So, and that's what it feels like. I hope it doesn't feel like preaching. I'm really just reflecting. So, all right, let's see. Love never fails. Well, that's very important. If we could learn that, then we would know that there is no hell, for one, because if love failed, well, that is the failure of love, to think that there could be an everlasting place of suffering. But it also means that we never need lose faith, that we are always loved by the divine, within the divine. So then we talk about stillness. Because prophecies will cease. Everything will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. When I hear that, I reflect upon the wisdom that we find in the stillness. And perhaps it's more, the divine is simply knowing, which is a bit different than knowledge. It's just knowing in your heart, that kind of knowing. And that will still everything. When we really, okay, we're going to go to the podcast. Occasionally it goes down. If it does, I'll welcome you to the next show. In fact, I will say that for the live audience. Do my proper job here on this very spontaneous show. The next live show with a guest is Wednesday, October 29th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. I've got Diane Collins, a new guest coming on, really cool person. We're going to talk about quantum thinking. So I know that's going to be a very interesting program. That's this Wednesday, October 29th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And I am staying with the podcast, but I want to thank those of you who were listening live. A little bit unusual to talk for so long, but I appreciate you being here very much. Thanks for being here with me live. And so I am going to shift into the podcast now, just kind of watching, making sure that it does that. Yep, there we go. And I'm going to finish this, but not go too long, because I don't want to drag on quite too far into the next hour. So, but there are a couple important things here that there is a lot to be said about stillness. And I'm not sure I've ever seen this verse in quite this way, is that we find the divine in the quiet spaces. That's why getting out into nature is so important, because it helps us clear our minds. I happen to be learning how to meditate, and actually nature is helping me with that. I'm also learning yoga, and we do meditation at yoga as well. And when we find that place of stillness, we find the divine. And perhaps what this is also saying is that when you truly unite with the divine, when you find this true heaven on earth, you don't actually need the prophecies anymore. You don't need language, because you simply know. You don't need knowledge in quite the same way, because you simply know through the heart. And so it talks in 1 Corinthians 13 about knowing in part, prophesying in part. But I love how it refers to perfectly imperfect, because I use that term quite a bit, actually. When perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. That is full awareness of the divine. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. This area. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Okay, I wanted to repeat that because, and this is a lot like Bible study, very much so, although we tend to have more interaction, just in the sense of, if you think in terms of heaven on earth or of the evolution of consciousness on this planet, we progressively go through stages of childhood. Actually, I would tend to argue in some ways we even become more like children the more that we expand, which is a rather interesting concept. But the thing is, though, we're simply evolving. And as we evolve, we're going to put childish ways behind us. Oh, this is beautiful. It brings us full circle to fear. Because what is the frontier beyond fear? It's being in survival mode. We will be putting that behind us. And so the more that we expand our consciousness into a love-based awareness, which is what truly is everywhere, the less that we are occupied by our fears. And in terms of humanity or any species, being in fear in terms of like the animal kingdom, the more that we progress beyond, again, simply survival mode, the more that we come closer to the divine, the more that we grow up. Humanity, and I'm sure many other species in the multiverse, is growing up. We're ready for a quantum leap, as many of us have said, and we're in the midst of it. And then we can move beyond those things that have divided us. We could become aware, much more aware, of being one body. We can strengthen those parts of the body that have been suffering or that need more strength. We can heal those parts of the body. And healing can travel from the stronger parts of the body, which it's not. Again, what does that verse say? No one part of the body is better than any other. And it's really important to get into that too. This happens in every spiritual path. Not one person, you know, if we start comparing, I'm more spiritual than you are. There was actually kind of a joke video floating around Facebook. I had it very briefly on my page, and then I decided to take it down because I just felt it was funny, but some of it, but some of it just felt a little mean to me, so I just didn't keep it. But it was pretty blunt about spiritual superiority and how, you know, some of us acting like we're more spiritual than others. And we need to really have compassion in those areas and realize that many, many years ago when I was waking up, I had a dream of a field of flowers. And when I walk in nature, I see this all the time. Flowers in the spring, some of them open up early. Does that make that flower any better than the one in the summer? Well, heck, if you've walked in a beautiful field in the summer, there's some gorgeous flowers in the summertime. Arguably some of the most beautiful flowers that just weren't there in the spring. So not necessarily. I mean, there's some really, I'm pretty new to the overall, consciousness-based spiritual community, I guess I would call it. Although I had a pretty dramatic wake-up call. But I would say that there's no comparison. I mean, you don't compare. I see late bloomers now out in nature. In fact, I took a picture of one today, a late-blooming flower. And the thing is, it's even more beautiful in some ways. I mean, there is beauty everywhere. And it's a form of judgment to pretend to be superior. But that doesn't mean, just like the spiritual gifts passage talks about, that certain gifts won't awaken for some people early. I mean, look at Mozart, for heaven's sake. Most of us don't play the piano like that at a young age. I'm trying to think of her name now, but there's that artist, that young artist, gosh, it's slipping my consciousness now, her name. But she just started drawing amazing portraits at a very young age. Those are gifts. We honor gifts. I mean, we celebrate when we see that someone is gifted in some way. But ultimately, when it comes to humanity awakening and becoming more conscious, you know, there are just some parts of humanity that need a little more time. And we just patiently await that. And we can help each other strengthen. And that's why we're here to teach. That's why we're here to help each other. And maybe we can even help each other see more miracles. The more we can connect to the heart, the more miracles we'll see. So it seems we're moving in that direction. Okay, just keeping an eye here. I'm still... All right, well, I'm not going to judge myself. It's really easy for me to say I'm still rambling on. But if you're enjoying listening to this, even if one person is listening, I appreciate that. So I'm here. I'm learning from myself just by exploring. I mean, that's what we do. And I'm just sharing it with you here on the program. But I do appreciate you being here. So what else do we have here? We're almost done. Okay, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. I've explored this passage before on this show, but it really simply has to do with clarity. I mean, waking up to consciousness. There will come a time. And you can get this in glimpses when we're out in nature, when we're doing yoga, when we're meditating, sometimes out of the blue for no reason whatsoever. There are people, it certainly happened to me. Sometimes we ask the question we want to know, and be very careful when you ask to be shown the way or ask to know something in the spiritual domain, because sometimes you'll get the answer to your question. And there are many people, and I was one, I talked about it on this show, that have had dramatic spiritual awakenings. And when that happens, you can really have a glimpse of some things. Some people have NDEs. I've had several people on this show who are experts in NDEs who have had them. And that's when you fully see, or at least more fully see, just what the divine is all about. And finally, we'll wrap up here. And now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I've had opportunities to reflect on hope recently, and actually that came up in a recent program as well. When you know the unconditional love of the divine, and when you feel it for yourself, and when you feel it radiate out, and this is a process, it may be in degrees, but knowing goes beyond hope. And that's why love transcends hope. The same thing with faith, in a way, although that's a little bit different, in the sense of once you know just how much love is in the multiverse, that it is infinite, and that everything exists, this is of love, the only faith you need is that knowing that love is all there is. That's a big lesson, actually, because difficult, challenging things happen. But where faith comes in for me, that transitions to knowing, and it's a process, is in that consciousness that every part of the journey exists. Even humanity itself being distanced with blinders from what God is, everything exists in order to increase our consciousness of infinite love, which is God, which is the divine. And that infinite love personally created you. You had a part in it because, again, yet another interesting concept, if we're part of the divine, we have a part in creating ourselves, which sounds kind of circular, but it's true. And so we are, and I'm not the first person to say this, the divine experiencing the divine in infinitely creative ways is what we are. And every one of those ways is special because it's been created. Just like every work of art, every flower, every leaf of grass, it's special in its own way. And so once you realize that you're loved for who you are by God, by the divine, by our higher selves, yet another term that you can use, then you begin to find that path to truly loving yourself, and then you may start doing the things in the world that resonate with your true self. Then you'll be bringing your greatest gifts forward, because that's what you'll be led to do. And then you will find that you come to love God. This is something I never knew how to do when I was an evangelical because of hell. But it goes both ways. It goes infinite ways, is that you love others, but then you also love that greater thing that you can't quite name, because there is a greater thing. I mean, the multiverse is very large, but it's more than that. And that's really what, to me, was taught to me in a different way as a personal relationship with God. It's with yourself. It's with the greater reality. And this is the greatest gift of all, to know that love goes everywhere and that you can participate in that creative force, that creative energy, and you can be a creator in your own way. Okay, I lost total track of the time, and I'm just going to check where we're at. Seems we're still up. So Okay, well, I am going to wrap this up now, and I hope that you appreciated this fourth anniversary special, those who patiently stayed with this discussion. And once again, if you want to learn more about this broadcast, I just have to go back to gratitude again, how thankful I am for this audience and for the listeners, for the guests, everyone around the show. And I invite you to go to frontierbeyondfear.com. If you are enjoying the broadcast and you have a way to do this, if you feel so guided, I do welcome your gifts to the show, because this really is a non-commercial broadcast, except for some of the ads that you see that Blog Talk Radio puts out. And believe me, it's not a profit-making enterprise. But it is done from the heart. And there are costs associated. There's a monthly cost and the maintenance of the website and the time. So if anyone out there would like to support the show, there is a way on frontierbeyondfear.com. And beyond that, I welcome you to look at all the old shows. We now have, let's see, I actually said what this show was. It's the 225th episode, so you have 224 shows that you can explore out there. And many returning guests, a number of guests have been on several times, and when they've done that, there's quite a body of work to explore. And then the future shows, I've got quite a schedule coming up, including this Wednesday, October 29th, 11 a.m. Pacific, with Diane Collins, who's going to talk about quantum thinking. So, thank you, everyone. Thank you. Boy, I am losing my voice. Thank you, everyone. And I hope you have a wonderful evening, day, wherever this show finds you. May you go in peace. And may you, too, discover that unconditional love that helps you to day by day walk and explore more and more into this new frontier, which truly is beyond your fears. And what will we create when we begin to do that?